大家好，声音可以听得到吗？听得清楚，好，大家好。
Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, welcome to WinHack Shenzhen, and thank you for staying throughout the second day and stay with us all the way through the second afternoon. My name is Joyce Ho. I'm from the system department. I'm the senior project manager. I'm in charge of the hardware vendors development and support. I hope my introduction today can help you to have a better understanding of the input platforms for Windows 10, and after this meeting, you can be embarking on the road of development targeted at Windows 10 for input platforms. We know that there are all kinds of available devices available on the market. The users can have interaction with these devices, like the mouse, keyboard for PC. And nowadays, people are shifting more and more to the touch screen and the touching pen, or the simple touch, all kinds of input methods will be integrated into Windows 10 with a single and consistent input platform on which we will provide input and output resources to our partners. So for products that our vendors make, which needs different kinds of input and output resources, we suggest you develop evolving around the features of Windows 10 input platforms. Despite the fact that there are different available input methods for Windows 10, we focus particularly on precision and touching, touch screen and touching pen. We've been optimizing this performance, which I will explain later in the demos. We provide not only the basic functions, resources, and support for the basic functions and the performance on Win10 platform. For input platform, we've also done other work. We ensure that the devices supported by input platform can support the entire homework and assignment system so as to satisfy customer needs. This is a present focus that we have, and we do have a project for that. We will introduce to you the significance of such a project for you, for the community. We will also give customer support for those existing products on the market. We also support testing and testing guidelines, and also guidelines for development, reference for development. We've summarized them into different guidelines, and this will be provided to you so as to facilitate your deployment of touching devices on Windows 10 platform. It is already the second day of WinHack. After the first day and the second half day, of the conferences. Well, these slides have been cropping up now and then. You must be very familiar with this. This is a very important directional change for Windows 10 with the core of the homework and assignment platform. We can support a cross-product category system. We can support all kinds of devices, tablets, phones, laptops, detachables, two-in-ones, like in the morning in the keynote. What is more lively discussed this morning was the devices for the IoT, Internet of Things, for big or small hardwares, for whatever purposes. Windows 10 can support this cross-platform and cross-category support. Cross-product category support is of a particular significance because we provide consistency in customer experiences. The major challenge for the time is how can we ensure that a very optimal customer experience that has been developed on one type of device can transit smoothly and migrate to other platforms or other categories of devices. Windows has cross-category support for hardware. We support cross-class, cross-category. In software, we support cross-category, cross-class too. The complete end-to-end support. We ensure comprehensive, consistent, smooth, and happy customer experience for the touching input. And for the application part. Usually, application is more intuitive. This is like the ultimate user interface. Please remind the speaker to speak into the microphone. The interpreter can hardly hear her clearly. Please remind the speaker to speak closer to the microphone. The interpreter can hardly hear her clearly.
通用的一个开发者工具。
Please remind the speaker to speak closely into the microphone. The interpreter can hardly hear her. Okay, thank you. So it is one-time development and it can be deployed on different devices. You can do one time of development, and then the apps can be deployed on different devices. And for the users, it doesn't make much difference whether the user is using the detachables, two-in-one phones, or tablets. They just go to the same universal app store, do the downloading. You can do the downloading, installation. It is of the same version. This app is of the same version. The app software is of the same version. You have the experience that you can install WeChat on your mobiles, on your laptop, on your tablets. But there are situations where there are different versions of WeChat on my computer and on my phone. And I may have some functions on my laptop, but not there on my phone or vice versa. Such a customer experience is not fully consistent across different devices. We hope with the universal application platform, we can migrate to consistency of customer experience on different devices. And for Win 10, we have embedded OneNote. The application program. This will ensure that when the users are writing something or taking notes, the touching pen, the touch pen functions are fully integrated. It is on the Inbox app. It was developed also via UAP. So for different kinds of systems and devices, as long as you have Win10, this OneNote can apply for all. The customer experience will be consistent because all the applications across different devices will be of the same version. So this is the consistency we want to realize in terms of application level. Besides, for hardware platform, we've set up an integrated single input platform. By integrated, what we mean is that for keyboards, mouse, touch pen, or touchpad, in the traditional homework operation systems, the input structure was not the same, so it was not executed the same. However, for Win10, all these were integrated. So when you are deploying different kinds of input devices and input methods, the deployment method is consistent. In other words, if you deploy mouse in one way, you will deploy the touch pen, touch pad, touch in the same way. Such consistency brings about several benefits. First, the universal input platform can give upward support to universal application platform. Universal input platform supports UAP. There is a universal API. On the software level, to acquire all the data from these input devices, and then there will be follow-up processing on the data from these input devices. For example, if today the design could only support mouse, but for Win10, if your device can provide different ways of input, like the ways of input from a touchpad and touch screen, then the application can receive the data from the input of the touchpad or touch pad and can give response accordingly. For the support to the devices of input, different factors can also be supported. Or in other words, for you, the significance is that you can develop the driver application once. Then you can use it repetitively later. Maybe today the development is only on the pad or on the phone, but next day you can use the same on the Internet of Things devices or the gaming machines because the deployment is just the same and it's cross-category, cross-class support. So for the hardware layer, operation layer, and software layer, universality is the ultimate goal we want to achieve. And this will shorten the time of development and reduce the complexity of development. This is the target we have for the input platform of Win10. Our goal is that for the devices that have been developed by you, for the devices that have been integrated to this community, we want the one single consistent optimal experience. Cross-platform, cross-equipment, cross-device support is what wanted by us, and at the same time, we want your development to be simple and straightforward. Among all the input methods, if it can support the ink, it would be great, but later I will explain our definition of ink support. Touch pen, touchpad, we hope the expression of ink is beautiful and of natural flow. Once the touch device has been launched onto the market in the future, there will surely be upgrading. We hope there will be follow-up solutions provided to you so that there will be seamless upgrading. And your devices and functions will always be fresh. So this is the goals we have for the input platform. Shortly before, I've mentioned three key focal points: function, performance, upgrading. And now I would give more details about these three focus. First, touch.
So Windows 10 actually builds on the experience of Windows 8. On Windows 8, we had a few considerations. One consideration was on Windows 8, we discovered a new type of product, so small form factor tablets. So touch is a very important feature of that device. It's like giving the users a high degree of confidence. It will feel comfortable interacting with the device. Every interaction is efficient. And the task I want to perform on this device can be done without too much trouble. So we need to define the standard for touch. We need to help our partners so that they understand what kind of devices, hardware they want to build, so that that kind of user experience can be enabled. And only when we do that can users really feel comfortable and confident interacting with the device on with a Windows operating system. So we see some familiar faces in the audience, and we set very high standards for Windows 10 as we did for Windows 8, because also we want to make sure we deliver the promises to the users 100%. There are some standards, some requirements that are related to the design, the UI we developed for Windows 8. So we developed those standards on top of Windows 8. Those are very demanding, and when partners approached us, they had to make an effort. But the feedback from them was very positive. The touch features on Windows 8 had zero complaint. All the complaints were about the UI, not the functionality of the touch screen. So at the minimum, at least we provided sufficient resources to our partners, and the guidance we gave to the partners was in the right direction. On the software component, we also set out some APIs for Windows 8. Those APIs targeted desktop and modern devices, so those devices with big icons. So we developed APIs for both desktop applications and modern applications so that touch feature functionality could be enabled across all those apps. So that's what we did on Windows 8, and that was the experience, the learning from that experience. We thought we did a good job for Windows 8 on touch features, but there's still room for improvement. So for Windows 10, there's further optimization. As I mentioned, the optimization is about the UI, and I will show you a few slides, give you a few screenshots to show you that for the desktop design, we actually incorporated a number of optimizations. There's one feature for desktop touch functionality. There's a new feature. This is something you come across every day. So in a desktop environment, you probably need to resize the window. Sometimes you want the window to be bigger, you want to go to full screen, or you want to go to the default setting. If you go by default, it's easier. But if you want to customize, then you have to move your mouse, the cursor, to the edge, either to the right-hand corner, and then you have to wait for the cursor to become a dark cursor. Then you could actually drag and resize the window. For a mouse to do that, it's already difficult enough. For fingers to do that, it's even more difficult because fingers are fat, and it's usually difficult to readjust the window to the size you want. So we realized that on Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, even if the experience, the whole experience is good, when we did some individual tasks, we could not get customers satisfied 100% out of 100%, maybe 80 out of 100. So we had some algorithms on the back end. When the fingers is approaching, is close to the screen. So actually, if there's a Windows edge on the screen next to the finger, then we could actually anticipate that the user wants to resize the window. And if the user's finger swipes or moves, then we will actually pinpoint the cursor to the edge so that the user will be able to resize the window without too much effort. So if you have an opportunity to install the latest Windows OS on your device, then you will realize that now it's much easier. It's almost 100% correct for the resizing. Also, on computing, we did some improvement. We talked about the automatic support for universal applications. If the application was designed for touch or using mouse, if it's an UAP, then it could be plugged onto a mobile phone. And the users, when using the app on the smartphone, if it's touch enabled, then you could actually touch the screen and interact with the AP. The same AP, if you want to plug it to a tablet, if it's equipped with a pen, then you install this UAP and then you use the pen and you can interact with the AP as well. So on Windows 10, across all devices, touch screen is much flexible and user experience is more consistent. If we dive further below, then actually for drivers, we provide drivers for universal applications, or you want to support firmware, you can do the development, one-off development, and the same solution can be applied across different devices for different versions of the Windows OS. Because as I said, the kernel remains the same. So I was emphasizing for every layer, every level, we emphasize on universal application. So you do one-off application design and development, and then you could apply that to all devices, all versions of the OS. The next few slides will show you our optimization on the UI. So at the on the desktop, these are a few screenshots. So how Windows 10 is different than Windows 8. It doesn't matter what device you use. We blow this up. It's not just a simple modification. We want to find out whether there's the right support on the device. If there is, then between the icons, well, actually, there's a wider space, and it's less likely for the user to go wrong, to misclick on the wrong icon, to click on the right wrong icon. And if not, if it's not supported, touch supported, then there's no such layout. It will be the traditional desktop layout. So the icons are smaller, the space is narrower. So this is a dynamic readjustment. For Windows users, another challenge is the three buttons that are commonly used on the window. So we heard a lot of complaints. So this is also about the distinction we mentioned, whether it's touch-enabled. If it's touch-enabled, then the window will look like the one at the bottom, and it will be more it will be easier for the user to minimize or to pull up the window or shut the window. Also, let me talk about the shortcut menu. On Windows 8, whether it's touch-enabled or not, it's still very small, and it's still very difficult to click on the right title. For Windows 10, as I said about the taskbar, if it's only supporting mouse and keyboard, then it's the traditional layout, the classic layout. But if it's touch-enabled, then the menu will actually be like the one on the right. So the space will be greater and the font will be different. On the user interface and on the core functionalities, we made a few improvements. We also want to support our partners on their development. And the first step of achieving that was to make sure that the input device partners could work with us to make sure that their development can be applied across the board for all devices and operating systems. A second point is to provide the users an environment or architecture that will facilitate universal design and consistent user experience. So the consistency lies in the fact that we will be able to allow users to gain similar experience across different devices, IoT, wearable, tablet, desktop. For Windows 8, we set a very high bar, and we forced limitations on our partners' design so that those designs focus on the premium end of the spectrum. But now we want to provide that flexibility. If you have the right product today that's touch-enabled and you think that it's good for Windows 10 but not so much for Windows 8, you didn't meet our criteria for Windows 8, then you could come forward today, because at the time of Windows 8, we didn't make that improvement. So we made some changes to the hardware requirements, and we want to use that effort to convince you that it's more autonomy given to you for design, and you will freely position your products, not dictated by us. I won't go through the hardware requirements one by one, but the message here is because the hardware requirements here are actually a relaxed version of the requirements for Windows 8. So some partners already are quite familiar with those requirements, but there's a lot of details in that. So it needs time. You need time to absorb. The information is publicly available on the website, and after the meeting, I will show you the web link. So I will skip this slide, but a few key points. Number one, we heard that for touch screen manufacturers, device manufacturers, we want to make sure there's higher accuracy even on the edge, but there's additional cost incurred on the part of the developers. So we made some improvements on the UI, and when we developed these hardware requirements, when we revisited those requirements, actually on the edge, we relaxed the requirements. So you can see that in the new specifications. Another point I want to mention is that on Windows 10, in particular for the inputs for the keyboard or other devices, the pen or the touch pad, the precision touch pad, we actually propose a number of requirements to them. And the point is to show them that if you can meet our standards, then the user will get a really wonderful experience on the Windows UI, the Windows OS. I will not be making demos for the touch functionality, but if you have the interest, you could actually go out to the booths out there, and we will have our people to help you there.
And for all the products, the hardware standards are just a single one, only one. So if you come to ask me what is the standards for the development of a phone, then it's this one. For game machines, this one. For laptops, for laptops and tablets, same, still the same. It is always the same, the consistent, this one. And for the testing standards, again, they are consistent and there is only one. And we hope with this consistency, we can facilitate the simplification of your development. For example, for the mobile, delay. Now we separate the standards in different inches. I don't know how to define this in Chinese, but we've been defining this with bigger scopes and bigger ranges, and we found if it is a smaller screen, then the spaces that can be moved is smaller, therefore the movement speed may not be that quick. In other words, if it is a big screen, then the user may move it with more exaggerated motions, then the speed will pick up as well. That's why we define the range in such a way. And for the rest part of the parameters, you can also log on to our website to find out the standards. For finger separation, we made some modification changes on the directions. If you check Win 8 or Win 8.1 standards for the touch hardwares, we were talking about the center of a finger, the distance between the two centers of two fingers. And then 15 milliliter. So for Windows 8.1, the separation of finger distance, we're pointing at the center, the distance between two centers of two fingers. But for Win 10, the distance between the two separated fingers, it's between the edge of one finger and the edge of the other. So it is now designed as smaller than 8 millimeter. So if we compare this with the standards and the requirements from Win 8, well, it has something to do with the touched area during the testing. So for the left side, you have to add another half finger. And on the right side, you have to add another half finger distance. For Win 10, the touched area size is defined as a circle with the diameter of 7 millimeter. But 7 plus 8, again, it is 15 milliliter. So the standards have been consistent through Win 8 to Win 10. So for partners who didn't know Win 8 pretty well, I want to mention that by pass. We've made some changes here. The major change is that we do not support self-defined gestures. Basis-wise, we forbid that. We don't want partners to develop too many different self-defined gestures because there might be diversified, self-defined gestures defined by different partners. But for the precision touch pad, we have released this part of the standard a little bit because it's just natural that different vendors will manufacture in such a way to support different ways. So for precision touch pad, we kind of release the requirement. But for Win 10, we emphasize in particular for touch hardware requirement, we do not support self-defined gestures. For third-party driver, we have the mobile version and the desktop version. Mobile version, we mean cell phones and smaller tablets. If it's mobile version, we allow third-party drivers driving program or the touch hardware can develop the driver from a third party. But for desktop version, no. There are several reasons to that. First, it has something to do with the interface of the device itself. For desktop, usually it is big screen laptops, tablets, or the desktops. And we find that the interface is USB and USB. And in Windows, it has inbox driver programs. So we don't want you to idle the time and develop a third-party driver. Just use the inbox driver from Windows. But for mobile version, on the touch hardware, the interface might be more diversified. And it is not provided in the inbox or preview way by Windows. The interface might have to be developed by the partner. After starting from Win 10, moving all the way into the future, Windows will migrate to become a service platform. Maybe such a concept change or philosophical change might have already been picked up by you on other conferences. Therefore, if we are to become a service platform, you will find more frequent upgrading. The upgrading of all these versions May exert a certain influence on the well execution of the driving program, or will there be some of the performance compromise? If it is only a desktop and everybody comes in with their own driver's programs, then the testing, upgrading, monitoring responsibility still lie on the shoulder of Microsoft. We will continue to do this, like the continuous monitoring, testing, upgrading. We have to ensure that the functions are all intact. That's why we forbid third party for desktop version, but for mobile version, the upgrading of the mobile version devices are very different from the upgrading method for desktop version. For desktop version, we will upgrade in such a way there is a separation between the input and the driver. If there is any functional loss, we know clearly the reasons, but for the mobile version, it is rather intact in the input way. For the upgrading, that's our reason why we separate the requirement of a third-party driving for either desktop or mobile. We do hope we can have more collaboration support from you on that. After that, I want to talk a little bit on the touch pen and the ink. These are two independent concepts. In the future, if you find a touch pen defined and mentioned by Windows, then you will know that we call it pen. We call it pen, and we mean proactive or active pen. By proactive or active pen, it means that this pen can be actively asked the system to detect it. It is not detected. It asks the system to detect itself. And for ink, and we use the input method to do the rendering. Based on different input methods, once the input device has shown its moving trends and moving footprints, then we will respond with the rendering. The input might be pen, might be mouse, touch, also pen, of course. For whatever input device and for whatever input way there is, there will be corresponding responsive rendering following the track, the track of the track and trace of the input. And this is from the ink. But the expression of the ink will be different from different input devices, but the best may come from the pen. So this is about the top pen and the ink. So for all the files from Windows, we will have these two concepts, pen and ink. Why does Win10 pay special attention to pen and ink? If you look at this slide, long ago, our ancestors were using this intuitive way to record what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have experienced. This is very intuitive. And such a way of recording recording has been followed from the ancient time till modern time, and by using a pen to record what has happened, it's the way by a child, it is also a way by an elderly. We are good at printing. We are good at using the keyboard, we are good at using the touch, and also we are good at using the speech input. And as we become better and better on these diversified ways of input, we kind to be addicted to it or dependent on it. So for times like this, do we still need a pen or an ink? Functionally speaking, do we still need it? Now, I like to share with you some of the experiences, my personal experiences, and we will find through these cases that if the system can provide digitized ink application, this is not as simple as ink itself. It brings about further possibilities. Among the younger generation, there are popular online games. In these online games, they may need strategic partners. They will follow consistent strategy. There will be division of labor, division of assignments among different online partners for online games so that they can overcome difficulties. But even for simple games, there will be certain obstacles that you really find difficult to overcome, and the game players will go online to search for lessons and experiences and suggestions from those top players. If there is no way to draw a painting, if you cannot explain the way to overcome a difficulty in a very straightforward and flexible way, then it's difficult to be understood. Like even if you want to explain, if you go there and go there, you can easily overcome the difficulty. It's difficult to explain it in words, but once you have a pen, you can cross the area where it is important. So with a pen, sometimes you can point the place that is important. You can share your experience of overcoming certain difficulty in a very personal way. It is very intuitive. It is very efficient. And just by crossing the area that you should pay special attention to, it can naturally, quickly, efficiently explain how you can overcome a game obstacle. And you will find that there is no competition on that. And also listed on this slide, on some of the conferences, we may have the impression, oh, I forgot my pen. I've been listening to the speaker, I've been watching the slides, but I really want a pen. I want to draw something on a paper or on a whiteboard to explain the structure of the technologies. There are occasions like this that we desperately want a pen. I've also been to some very artistic occasions, and users who have their own artistic sense and aesthetic value, they want to express themselves via a picture, via a drawing. And if we don't have a pen, we don't have a Windows pen, then he has to use his own pen. But that has the disadvantage that if you use the traditional pen, it's difficult to be kept on record. It's difficult to be shared with others. So with this electronic Wing 10 pen, it is in alignment with our tradition. Human beings use the pen to express ourselves. And also, it brings other add-on values, like it is good to be kept for a long time. It can be easily shared with others. And it can also bring about new applications along with the long-term use of the pen. So among the existing input devices, we should never forget the beginning, the most original one, the pen. That's why Wing 10 has invested a lot of energy and resources into pen and ink, so as to ensure pen and ink bring about excellent and optimal experiences. It feels just like the same when you are not exactly the same, but it's close to the experience of using with a real pen. If it is not 100% the same with writing with a real pen, then users will feel a little bit reluctant to buy it with extra money. I've also noticed that in existing market available cell phones, there are active or passive pens. But even if it's an add-on function, few people actually use it. That's because it does not feel like a real pen. Writing with the electronic pen just doesn't bring about good experiences. That's why Wing 10, once we want to have our pen, we want it to be a real pen. And only when it can reach the experience of writing with a real pen, can the pen has longevity.
So the users will really want to spend and use the pen to do the job. So I talked about the good user experience. We need to have a reliable pen to show that. And we are using direct ink to deliver that. Direct ink can do the rendering based on the strokes. It doesn't matter how you input the data. Direct ink is the rendering, the shader. For the ink rendering, how do we link it to direct link? In addition to this rendering feature, the API also is very rich and very versatile. It doesn't matter whether you are using OneNote, like a Post-it application, so you don't need too many complex features. On OneNote, there's actually a extra layer of complexity because there's color, there's the thickness of the pen, the ink, and also the angle, and also the pen can be different. So for that additional complexity, we can also support. So as I said, there's a lot of flexibility on the API. For hardware design, we follow the same spirit. We want the developers to develop something compatible with our system. So the standards we flesh out are only for active pens. If you use, you develop passive pens, you could ignore us because passive pens are like your fingers. The operating system will not be able to detect or see the fingers until you use them. But active pens can be discovered and can be felt. So that's the difference. On the pen, there's a number of features. There's a rubber, the eraser actually, on the tip of the pen. And also there's an extra button on the side of the pen. You could press on the button. You could press the button. If you press the upper bit, then it's the eraser. If you press downwards, then it's like a mouse. So it will pull up the shortcut menu. We also support more complex features, like on the back end, you have a button, and you can use the button to turn on or turn off Bluetooth, and you can use that also to for a custom feature. So any feature you think that's very commonly used in handwriting, then you could actually customize it, and then the user could switch. You put that switch on or off easily. And on the tip of the pen, there's a pressure sensor. This is a very important feature because whether it's a text or an image, whether it's nice on the eyes, it has to do with the pressure sensor. So you want to make sure that you mimic the natural pen as much as possible. So a good pen for the Direct Ink platform, we can support this kind of functionality, but on the hardware side, we need to have a really good pressure sensing report that could come back and tell us how well we have been doing. So I think pressure sensing, if we do it right, then the developers will also benefit. Let me show you. A demo of Direct Ink. I try to write a Chinese character because I said there's a pressure sensing feature on the tip of the pen. With the pressure sensing feature, the pen could actually imitate a real pen, like a brush or a normal pen. You can see that the stroke is very natural, and there is a small tip, so that's where my pen is. Let me show you how I do what it is like when I do this. So this is like very close to the experience of writing a pen. I probably have exceeded the time limit. Let me switch back and cut the demo short. Let me show you, let me tell you what we need. How do we get the experience? For the hardware requirements, I will skip. For the PTP, it means the touchpad will support the embedded applications and then meet our hardware configuration requirements. So it's called precision touchpad. We use the acronym PTP. Due to time constraint, I will be very brief. So the PTP feature, provides a lot of benefits. The PTP touchpad is also pre-installed. So there are some pre-configured gestures. It doesn't matter whether you are using a handset or a tablet. Even handsets can support PTP because we're using a universal platform. So on any device, for any product, regardless of the vendor, the user experience is very consistent. And on Windows 10, for Windows 10, we actually added some custom gestures, so more gestures available. We also provided the flexibility. So in addition to the custom gestures that we provided, the user can actually add more. And on the specs, we made more relaxed requirements. For the PTP, if it comes with buttons, it's fine. It fits our hardware requirement. And there is also flexibility on the hardware, how we use the PTP so that the user could get on with it quickly. And the custom experience, we provided that flexibility, but our preference is still for the Windows custom gestures. Don't change them. Don't change them to something different. Because otherwise, the users will not find the experience consistent across devices. So your custom gestures will have to be on top of what we provide. And the custom gestures will only be available on Windows 10, not 8.1. After the demo, if you are interested, you can come forward and I can show you more. So there's still also a requirement on user experience. But due to time constraint, I wrap up and I'll be around. If you want to ask a question, please come forward.